Muy buenos días y saludos en el nombre de Cristo.
Blessings to you too.
Thank you. We are again thankful for the privilege of being here to worship God together. For a text, open your Bible. Yes, Matthew chapter 12, the latter part of verse 34, it says, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. I would like to, the title for my message this morning is Expressions of Maturity in Young People. Expressions of Maturity in Youth. Of the heart the mouth speaketh, that is so true. What comes out of our mouth is an indication of what's in our hearts. The things that come out of our mouths is an indication of what's in the heart. God would desire that we would be able to mature in each stage of our life that we go through. It's God's will that we mature as He expected that we would. We can only mature in our Christian lives if our hearts are yielded to God. Then we can mature like He would want us to. In the book of Psalms, you don't need to go there. Chapter 119, in verse 9, I want one of the young men to, there's a question there, and then the answer. Psalms 119, verse 9, what is the question? And the answer. Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's very important. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to what the Word of God says. Very important. According to my own personal experience and that of our children, and what I have observed in other young people, it's normal that young people, and not just young people, especially young people maybe, want to be considered as mature. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's the right desire. Yesterday, I forget now who it was. Maybe it was, where is the young man? Right there. Nate. I asked him how old he is. And I think he told me, did you tell me 12? Okay. But he wasn't quite finished with that after he told me he's 12. He said, and in a certain date or next month, or however it was, he's going to be 13. So after a little bit, I walked over to him and asked him if he knows what the difference is between an old person and a young one. What was your response? I forget. This, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what it was. I wasn't sure. Good answer. My take on that, I asked him how old he is, and he said 12, and in the next month or so, he's going to be 13. Well, if you ask me how old I am, I'll tell you 72, but I'm not looking forward to next month when I turn 73. So that's the difference between old and young. I'll tell you 72, and that's it. He gave a good answer. It was very good. So You know, young people look forward to next year or when they turn 15, because probably then you can have a driver's permit. And then life goes on like that. And I don't know what your practices are, but in our group, the young boys especially, they look forward to 18. Probably none of you could guess why. They look forward to being 18. Usually nobody starts courtship at 18, but it's kind of the accepted, you know, fact that they can at the age 18. And then, you know, you're looking forward to getting married. And after you're married, you're looking forward to, we're looking forward to have our first child. You know, and that's good. We have a dating couple here, right? I think we do. So, he's looking down. are you looking forward to the day when Christ will return? But you're secretly hoping he'll wait till after the wedding. Yes. So maturity and, you know, looking forward to the next. My wife and I weren't really looking forward to being old. But we discovered there's something very beautiful about every stage in life. We just really enjoy it. We're old and we like it. Married life gets better. There's just so many things, yeah, to look forward to. We just really like it. We have 32 grandchildren and we enjoy when they come home. Thankfully, you know, some of them live in Central America, so they don't all 32 come at one time. But the ones that do come, you know, they're terrible loud. It seems to us like they're loud and the house gets all messed up. By about 9:30, I'm so glad when I can see some tail lights going out the lane. And Grandma and I are all by ourselves, and it's so quiet in the house. But then 2 days later, we can't hardly wait till they come back. Yes. Okay. All right, we must go on. I have a few questions here. At what point in life does one attain maturity? When do maturity's noble qualities take possession of a young man or a young woman? And have the people, the people that you consider to be mature, did they just kind of all at once get to that spot? I trust by the time we're finished with the message, we have all gotten an answer for these three questions. Okay? I'd like to take notice of three young men in the Bible. And notice how their actions were tempered by wisdom and how it produced maturity in their lives. The first one I want to notice is Jesus. Jesus' life, or the life of Jesus, provides a real good example for us of somebody that is blooming into maturity. Open your Bibles with me. I think it's in Luke chapter 2. Yes, Luke chapter 2. We will look at that. I think we have the account here in Luke chapter 2 when, let me see if I can find that. I like my Spanish Bible much better. I can find my things a lot easier. I haven't used this one very long. Okay, in Luke chapter 2, maybe starting with verse 41. Luke chapter 2, 41. Yes, that's the one. It says, now his parents, talking about Joseph and Mary, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, notice that. How many 12-year-olds do we have here? Raise your hand real high. Okay. A number of them. Notice what it says about Jesus. He was 12 years old. They went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Sometimes, when I read this, I think maybe, was Joseph and Mary, were they a little negligent? I mean, how could they forget Jesus? I know they were in the company with a bunch of other people, and they went, and, you know, later on they noticed that, well, Jesus wasn't amongst them. So we'll read the rest of the story. Anyhow, I guess in the past I have been a little critical of that. But years ago in Central America, we were one of the only ones that had a vehicle. And so we would pick everybody up as we go to church from here and the next house and the next house, and our vehicle was full, overloaded. You know, you can easily put 30 people in the back of the pickup. I mean, and then there's room for a few more if you need. And so we would pick up these folks, and we would go to church. And it was one evening after church, we all got it back in the truck and we went home. When we got home, we usually have a little snack and we sat around the table. And as we did so, I noticed, well, somebody's missing. And he wasn't there. I'm not real sure which one it was. I think maybe it was Anthony. He's our youngest. He just wasn't there. We looked, and he was not there. He wasn't in the house, so I got in the vehicle and went back to the church house. You know what I found? He was laying under one of the pews fast asleep. Well, I kind of changed my mind about Joseph and Mary after that. Yes. Okay, going on here. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished, notice that, at his understanding and answers. He was 12 years old. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. But notice what it says in 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I like what it says here in verse 47. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. He was a wise little man. He was talking with these learned men about the law or whatever they were talking about, and he was asking questions and giving answers. So I really like that verse, but I like verse 51 much better, young people. Notice what it says. After having talked with his mother, it says he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was what? He was subject unto them. He was a wise young man, talking with these other learned men, but when mom and daddy said it's time to go home, he was subject. That's maturity. He was willing to do what mama asked of him. He was subject. He was a mature young man for his age, for the age of 12. He was subject to mom and dad. Where is it most important for you as young people to act and be mature and grown up? When you're with a youth group, maybe there's a youth social or you have some kind of a trip someplace, and where is it most important that you are mature and grown up? When you're with a youth group, or when you're under the ever observing eyes of mom and dad? I would say both are important, but probably where you make the test or break it is when you're at home with mom and dad. Jesus was subject to his parents. And it goes on to say in verse 52, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He was subject to his parents. If you have somewhat of a I don't care attitude and you're somewhat disobedient and, you know, it's not, well, mom and dad, they're a little funny. I don't care if you're 18 or 21. If that's the attitude you have, may I say it? You're immature. Yes. So may we be like Jesus was. Okay, mom, sure. And he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. His example that we have is an example of a young person that is blossoming into maturity. And because of the way he was subject to mom and dad, he increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and with man. A good example. Yes. Youth, may that be your testimony. Okay, the next one. Open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, we have the account of Abraham and Isaac. In general, when this account is read, Abraham is the outstanding character in this study or in this portion of Scripture. Because of what God asked him to do with his son, and he was willing to do it. So we read the story and we're like, wow, Abraham, wow, he was a man of God indeed, which he was. But this morning, I would like to notice Isaac as that outstanding figure. Let's read the first, I think it's maybe 12 verses in Genesis chapter 22. Says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him of. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. What is your thinking on, I'm not sure how old a lad was in those days, but if you think of a lad, today, more or less, how old would you say he is? 10.
Okay.
Alrighty. He was a lad. It says in verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, notice what he did with it, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. Young people notice that. The respect that Isaac used to talk to his dad. My father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Why do you think Isaac asked that question? Why did Isaac ask where the lamb is for the burnt offering? Anybody? It indicates to me that this isn't the first time that he accompanied his dad to make an offering to God, and they always had a lamb. But this time, they didn't. He was carrying the wood, daddy was carrying the knife and the fire, but obviously there was no lamb. So he had a question, an honest question. Daddy, where's the lamb? The next verse gives us the answer. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I think when Abraham told Isaac that God is going to provide a lamb, Isaac got the hint that I'm going to be the lamb. Okay. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Notice here, young man especially, there is Isaac. Isaac must have been a very mature young man. He could have said, Dad, no way, you're not tying my hands. I'm going to call 911. I have rights. There's no way. But his dad asked him, okay, son, we're ready. Come here and cross your arms like this. And he tied him. David, what would you do if your dad would do that to you? How would you respond? Andrew? Nate? What would you do? You don't know. What would those two men over there do? What would you do? How would you respond if your dad really did that and he was going to tie your hands and put you on there? How would you respond? Try to get away. Okay. I'm not sure what I would have done. But I don't think I would have allowed my dad to tie my hands, knowing that he's going to put me on there. And he had that sharp knife. I'm quite sure I could outrun my dad. I would have gotten out of there. But Isaac was a mature man. He knew what this meant. He knew that daddy is serious with God. God asked that of dad. And I'm guessing probably Abraham had tears running down his cheeks. And as Isaac looked up, in his dad's face, he as well started crying. He said, yes, Dad. That's maturity. That is maturity. Even if you don't understand all the reasons why Dad asks what he does. Say, yes, Dad. Now I have a question. What do you think was Isaac's secret for willingly submit to Dad and offer his life to God on a burnt offering?
Having spent time with his dad.
Okay, in the portion that we read, I think the answer is right there. It says it twice. What is it? What?
He walked with his dad.
Yes. Yes, he walked with his dad. It says it two times here. He walked with his dad. He learned to submit to his dad. He walked with his dad. That was his secret. You weren't sure what you would do? Maybe try and get away? Isaac, it says he walked with his dad. And he didn't just start it here. He started when he was a little boy, I think, to walk with his dad, be subject to his dad, say, yes, Daddy. Young people, there's probably never going to be a time in your lives when you're in more of a spiritual and a physical danger than what you are in your youth. There's so many things outside these walls that are calling for your attention. And you're in a critical time of your life. Us older ones are as well. But especially for young people, your lives are like sponges that tend to absorb what's out there. You want to experiment. You're curious. Probably no other time in life when you're going to be in more danger than what you are now. And that is exactly the way it was with Isaac. He carried the wood. Daddy carried a sharp knife and fire, and Isaac knew what that meant. My life is in danger. But he was willing to do this and say, yes, Dad. Because he had learned to walk with his dad. He was willing to walk with his dad. Did any of you young men ever think that your dad had too many rules? Did you? Okay. What about the girls? Did you girls ever think mom just has way too many rules? She's way too strict. Did you think that? You must be normal. Yes. When you're at that point in life, walk with mom and dad. Walk with mom and dad. That was Isaac's secret. And may that be yours. If you do that, you think, it's just not quite fair. There's other young people in church. They don't have to do that. Why do we? Dad, just kind of, I don't know, just kind of like making us a little miserable by adding another rule. If you have godly parents that are concerned about you, you have godly parents that pray for you every day and give you good counsel, take heed. Walk with your parents. I work as a prison chaplain. Here some time ago, I was up on the third floor of prison, and I go from cell to cell to help these men. Pray with them. We do Bible courses with them. It was in the afternoon. I was tired. I was emotionally tired. So I had finished everybody on that cell. There's 26 cells to each floor, and I had finished. And so I was going to go home.
So I started down this step. I just started down, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw in the first cell, there was a young white man that I had never met before. But I thought to myself, no, I'm tired. I'm going home. I started down the step, but God did not allow me to go down. I turned around and went back. Introduced myself to this young man. He had just been moved from another prison to there. So I introduced myself to him, and we started talking there, and I asked him his name and where he's from. He said, my name is Aaron Pierce. Okay, we talked some more. We're not allowed to ask the inmates why they're in prison, what the crime was that they committed, but I can go in the office and I can look it up, and there it says. There it is. So I started talking with Aaron, and he said he has a real good family. He said, I grew up in a Christian family, and we would always go to church on Sundays. We would go to prayer meeting, and Mom and Dad would pray for me. He said, I know they are still praying for me now. And he said, they send money on my book in prison so he can buy some food, maybe some chips sometime, and some ice cream. I eat in prison, and that food isn't very good. So he was kept on talking about his parents. He has good parents, and they pray for him, and they would always take him to church, and they put money on his books so he can get some extra snacks. And he went on, and I looked at him. I said, Aaron, why are you behind these bars? If those are the kind of parents that you have, what are you doing behind these bars? He said, well, when I was 16, he said, I thought my dad had too many rules. He just added a few more to make me miserable. So he said, at the age of 16, I run away from home. And I got in contact with another group of young people, young boys that were just kind of had the same idea that I did. And after a few days, he said, we needed some money. So we went to a local store and we robbed the store. We got the money. And he said, we got caught. And he said, now I'm in prison. He said, my cell is 8 feet wide. It's 12 feet long. It has a bunk, one bottom and one top. It has a toilet stool in the back. And I have a cellmate that I don't know who he is. He said, I have to serve 8 years or stay in this cell for 8 years with this man that I don't know because of my wrong choices. Then he said, John, do you know who's stupid? He said, I'm stupid because I thought Daddy had way too many rules. Now I'm going to have to suffer behind these bars for 8 years because of a wrong choice. Young people, be wise. Walk with your parents like Isaac did. Even if you think that has too many rules and some of the things that mom asks are just really not necessary. But walk with your parents. Be appreciative for your parents. That's what Isaac did. He was a mature young man. I need to go on. The next one I would like to notice, maybe very, very briefly, is the example that we have of Joseph. Joseph was one of Isaac's grandsons? Is that the way it is?
I think. And so with reason, we find in Joseph a man of integrity. He had an honest heart. And he was very mature at a young age. The one thing in my mind that makes Joseph stand out so vividly is the fact that his brothers were so cruel. They were degrading. They were ungodly. What they did to their brother, throwing him into that pit or that well and lying to their dad about Joseph, that makes Joseph stand out all the more. The jewel will shine the brightest on the darkest night, and that's the way it was with the life of Joseph. So, making a long story short, we know what happened with Joseph. Some Ishmaelites came along, and they were merchants, and so they sold their brother. And they took him far away. Joseph was a very wise man. Again and again, the Bible tells us that God was with Joseph. He was a mature young man. God gave him wisdom. He was a stable young man. He made wise choices. And the Bible would indicate that he was a handsome young man. Young boys or girls as well, do you realize that if you're handsome, it's a certain danger that goes with that? And I think God he ordained it that way. Isn't it something when young people get up to the age of maybe 15, 16, 17, they're like, wow, that's a handsome young man. Or the girls, wow. One youth boy will say to them, isn't she pretty? That's okay. God made you that way. The Bible would indicate Joseph was a handsome young man. And it got him in trouble. It wasn't his fault. But this woman saw him and saw the abilities that he had. And so he came to the house to do some of his business, the Bible tells us. And she, wicked woman, came up and said to Joseph, hey, come on, let's go have sex. Joseph left his clothes in her hand and fled. That's maturity. Way too many young people, and not just young people, old ones alike, would fall flat on their faces if that opportunity was given to them. Joseph was a mature young man. Way too many young people take that first step down towards the sins of immorality for a few minutes of pleasure, and then they have to suffer with regret and remorse for the rest of their lives. Don't do it. Be wise. Be mature. Joseph was a mature young man. Joseph knew what self-control is all about. Can you imagine with me this morning, that story we find in Genesis chapter 39, can you imagine with me for just a little bit if Joseph had been struggling along for years with masturbation when that woman came and tempted him? Can you imagine what Genesis 39 would tell us this morning? A devastating story. Joseph was mature. May God help us to be mature.
All right, we have briefly noticed these three examples, and it's time for me to quit, but I'm not finished. I'm not quite halfway. But anyhow, I'll try and cut it short. I'd like to notice a few things yet that, you know, in real life, of how things that you can do, that you need to do, and it will produce maturity in your lives. I have a verse here in Psalms 119:15. You may turn to that one. Psalms 119, verse 15. You think it is? Psalms 119, verse 15. Yes. Psalms 119:15. It says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." Okay. Meditating in the Word of God, that always produces maturity in our lives by meditating in the Word of God. It's very important that we do that. I think it was back in 89, we went to Paraguay, my wife and I did. We were asked to go there to have meetings for a church there in Paraguay at Campo Nueve. And so we did. We got our tickets and we flew into Asuncion, and we got there at 12 o'clock midnight. And there was a brother there to pick us up with his old truck. That was way back. And it took us from the airport, it took us 4 hours to get to his house. So we got there at 4 o'clock in the morning. We drove up to close to the house there, and there was no electricity at that time, and at least in that place. And we drove up, and he welcomed us. This is our house, this is where we live. And it was the first time I was in Paraguay, and I wanted to take everything in that I could. So I was all eyes. I noticed before we got out of the truck that there was a light in the living room, So we got up on the porch, and he opened the door and welcomed us on the inside to come on inside. And to my surprise, when we stepped on the inside in the living room, there was a little table there with a candle that was flickering, and his 14-year-old son was there reading his Bible at 4 o'clock in the morning. "I will meditate in thy precepts." Andrew, what do you do at 4 o'clock in the morning? Okay. Most of us probably do. I don't anymore. I'm an old man and can't sleep at 4 o'clock. But yeah, here was this young man. Let me see, what was his name? I forget. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. There he was reading his Bible at 4 o'clock in the morning. We were there like 10 days. I observed that young man. And there was a real maturity about that young man. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man mature in his Christian life and experience? By taking heed, by meditating upon the Word of God. That young man was a very mature young man because he meditated upon the Word of God. It produced maturity in his life. It took an effect in his life. And he was a very mature young man. Today, he's an ordained man, and he preaches the Word of God. Meditating upon the Word of God. So important. All right. Oh, there's so many other things. Maybe Psalms 119, verse 32. I really enjoy Psalms 119. And here in verse 32, we find another verse that I would like to make some practical applications for our young people and for all of us. It says, Psalms 119, verse 32, "I will run the way of thy commandments." I will run the way of thy commandments. Young people, you know, you're at a young age, you're full of energy, you have healthy bodies, you live in a wonderful, with a wonderful family. You can go to bed at night and the blankets are so warm and cozy, and you need to take a shower and there's dry towels and they're real thick, and it's so good. We have good food. It just, you know, everything is in our favor. When you're at that place in life, be very careful. When I was at that place in life, I had my ideals, and within myself, I was going to rise above of where my parents were. I had it kind of all figured out. Some of that is okay, I guess. But that zeal and that energy that you have, what you feel, you wanna make, you know, get ahead in life and go on with life, that's all good. It's very good. But remember, what does it say? I will run the way of thy commandments. Always keep God first. Take God into consideration before you make those choices. It's very important. I remember it was back in, I think it was in 1961. I was 10 years old. I had 9 siblings. We had a home, my parents weren't Christians. We had a sad home, really. There were a lot of good points. My parents were diligent in teaching us a lot of things, and I'm very thankful for the things that they taught us, but there were a lot of things that just, it didn't happen in our home. I had nine siblings. It was on a Sunday morning. And we were all at home. And there was a cot in the living room. My 15-year-old brother was laying on that cot. He was dying of cancer. He had leukemia cancer. He died later on that day. His blood just, it ran out of his nose until he died. There was no way to stop it. Anyhow, soon after lunch, we were all there in the living room, and my brother there, the condition that he was. And right after lunch, I looked out the window, and I saw there were two vehicles that came driving into our driveway. And they come up close to the house, and I was watching. I was 10 years old. They stopped there, and a young man got out of the car. He came in, he knocked on the door, and my dad got up and went over, and they talked. And then Dad turned around, came back, closed the door, and the young man went out. I watched that young man as he went out. He went out, and he was talking to whoever was in the car. And a little bit later, all the car doors opened up, and there was a group of young people, 15 young people, got out of the car, and they came into the house on the porch, and Dad went and opened the door. They came in, and they had Bibles, and they had songbooks. They sang a number of songs. They stood there in the living room. They sang some songs. And then one of the young men, with his Bible, he opened it up. And he had a devotional. I was only 10 years old. And I don't remember exactly what he said. And we still have no idea who these young people were. But something caught my attention when he was talking to us. There was a little phrase that stuck in my head. It stayed there. Leaning on the arms of Jesus. Exactly 8 years later, I was coming home late one night, driving horse and buggy. And I fell asleep. strolling along, and all at once something awoke me. And I was, where am I? What am I doing? Oh, I'm riding in the horse and buggy. And I saw a bright light and a loud horn blowing. And I thought to myself, I'm going to have to stay awake. If not, there's going to be a tragic accident. But I fell asleep again. Just a little bit later, the buggy shook from one side to the next. I had just gone over the railroad track when the train went behind me. That woke me up. And the first thing that came to my mind was leaning on the arms of Jesus. And I was converted because of that. Young people run the way of the commandments of the Lord. There was a reason those young people came to our house 8 years before that. They knew the condition of our home. They knew my brother was dying. But little did they know that because of them being there, and that 8 years later I would become a Christian because of it. Hadn't it been for that group of young people that came to our house that Sunday afternoon, if it wouldn't have been for that group of young people, I wouldn't be here this morning. So young people, run the way of the commandments of the Lord. Take God into consideration. I have nothing against, what shall I say, playing volleyball. Our youth play volleyball. But don't just always, when you get together, don't just always play volleyball. Go do some visiting in a local hospital. Or maybe there's an old man in the community that has cancer and he's on his deathbed. Or maybe in the fall of the year, when all those leaves fall off of the trees, young girls, take your rakes and go over and rake the lawn for a neighbor lady. And then sing some songs to her about Jesus. And maybe 8 years later, she will become a Christian. Run the way of the commandments of the Lord. Be mature. Walk with your parents. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness in spite of who we are. We're not worthy, but we want to humbly bow our hearts and say thank you. We're grateful for the provisions that you have made. We're grateful for Jesus and the forgiveness of our sins. Condemnation has been removed and taken away, and we're free. We thank you for that. Bless each one of these dear young people, along with their parents and their siblings. Bless them as they live out the Christian life here in the community. Might other people in the community be able to see that Jesus is the control of their life. Bless us further as we are together today. Might we be encouraged in the right direction, and then help us to live that out day by day. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you.